Ghosts are everywhere.
Hey! Guess what? There's something so exciting, you're not going to be able to handle it.
You sound like you're doing... Is this your ad read voice?
Hey! This is my ad voice. Hey!
This is Carly's ad voice. And
this is my ad voice. Don't you like it?
This is
Carly's ad voice,
and this is an ad, and we're advertising our own shit.
That's right.
That's what we do here. It goes to everywhere. We have told you guys about our hats.
Correct.
And because... we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, we're our own boss.
We have extended the deadline for hat orders.
By popular demand, we've extended our deadline.
Popular demand. Absolutely. We are going to be leaving the order form up until Sunday, January 9th.
Of 2022, baby.
Of 2022.
So if you're listening to this on our release date, you have exactly 2 days to send in your order for your very own Ghosts Are Everywhere embroidered hat.
Yeah.
And you can access that link by going to our Instagram and pressing our link tree. It's right there.
It's right on there. It's never been easier.
Never been easier. Our Instagram is what, Cecilia?
It's at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod.
Yeah.
Carly, could you also put a link into the description of this podcast so that they can just...
You know what?
Click right on there.
You know what? I just might. You're right.
Make it even easier for
us. Let's do it. Why not?
Or for anyone who doesn't have Instagram, we don't want to discriminate.
That's right.
We're also extending because we're feeling a little generous in this new year and because time isn't real and I don't know when Christmas is anymore.
We don't know what time is, though. We hear it's 2022.
We hear it's 2022. Allegedly, it's 2022. So we're also extending our little Patreon deal into the month of January. So until the end of the month.
That means that all of our tiers are half price. You're welcome. Hey, we are slashing prices. Did I sell you on it? Because I hope I did.
It's a fire sale. Where can the people find that, Carly?
They can find us at patreon.com/ghostsareeverywhere, I think. Let me check.
And if anyone wants to advertise on our podcast, you can have a really great ad read just like this.
Yeah, it's www.patreon.com/ghostsareeverywhere. And you can join us to the lowest tier that you can join us at. Our first tier, Cecilia, is half price, and it's priced at $2. You can join for one Canadian toonie. You can join us for a whole month.
One toonie.
Our second tier, Cecilia, you want to know how much it is? It's 2 toonies. It's $4 for the first month. And Cecilia, do you want to know how much our third one is? It's 3 toonies for the first month. Holy guacamole. And each one has awesome incentives. And each one has a reward that is a physical reward. So if you join on up with us, you're going to be getting a little something something from us in the mail, no matter which tier you join with.
A little merchy merch.
Yeah. And ordinarily, you can do the math. They're double those prices, which are still real, economical in these times.
It's a fire sale.
It's a fire sale all the time, but specifically this month. And so we are having our fire sale, our half price Patreon, until the end of this month, January 2022. You're welcome.
Can't beat our deals.
Nope. You like it.
And now back to the podcast. Oh.
Oh.
Hello there.
Hello, we're feeling giggly today.
There's just so much to giggle about, I suppose.
Giggles all around.
We're back on FaceTime over here. We're locked down again.
That's right. It's 2022, baby. It's our first episode of the year, and it feels a lot like last year this time. What?
It's a lot like, last year, 2021, first episode, we were also, just locked down, thriving. Yeah.
In the words of the iconic Olivia Rodrigo, do you get deja vu?
Oh, I sure do.
Sure do. Fucking do. Thank you for asking, Olivia Rodrigo. We do.
We have constant deja vu. But new things. Anyway, this is ghosts are everywhere.
New things. We're worse at intros this time.
Oh, wait, no. Deja vu. Let's fucking introduce ourselves. This is Ghosts Are Everywhere, and I'm Cecilia.
That's right. I'm Carly, and that's what this is. You're welcome to it.
And that's what this is. And new year, same old shit, except...
Ooh!
Except I have a new studio. I'm calling it my studio.
That's right. I love that you decided to call your bedroom your studio. I'm obsessed with it.
It's not the whole bedroom. It's just this corner.
Oh, the tiny... Okay, just that corner is the studio.
I mean, my bedroom... It's just so huge that I can
giant.
Break it off into different
Yeah, that
areas.
Wing of your bedroom is
so this
the
wing,
studio.
This, like, great. 5 by 3 square feet. This is my studio. I have a desk now. That's
luxury.
Upgrade.
That is luxury.
Yeah, I moved into a new apartment, and I now have a woop, desk. Woop. Where I can put all my devices so I'm not on my bed all the time.
See, that's smart.
Carly, on her bed, even though pretty sure she has a desk.
Yeah, I have like a bed top tabletop little desk.
Okay.
I don't actually have a desk in my room. Oh. I'm very vain. I'm a Libra. I have a vanity.
She has a vanity. See, yes. I'm an intellectual and I have a desk.
And these are the differences between us two. The end.
I, as everyone knows, am an intellectual. That is why I have a desk. With a lamp and everything.
Oh my god, you are full intellectual.
I've like Look an at old you timey... go. Did you give me this one? Did you?
Yeah. I did.
I have a Carly sourced, much ado about knickknacks sourced,
plug
vintage desk lamp.
Yeah, it's like a banker style, like glass.
But it's orange.
Yeah. It's so pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, we're here. We're doing the same old shit, except it's 2022, which I was just saying to Carly is not a real year.
No, it feels fake.
No.
To say in my mouth. Like, it kind of hurts a little. There's just doesn't fit in there.
Too many twos. 2022?
Far too many twos. There's so many T's in this year. 2022. Like, 2022. Blah, 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 blah. It feels awkward still.
It's a lot.
We're only a week in, so.
I'm not sure if I'm ready for it, but also...
I don't know about you.
Real and
I'm feeling 22. That's the best thing of this year.
Time isn't real. Also, I had COVID for Christmas and New Year's, so those haven't happened yet for me. So I don't know what time
that's
is.
True. That's true. Surprise, Cecilia. Got.
Surprise, we're back, and I had the Omicron, and that took me out of it for a couple weeks. But
she couldn't
now,
help it. She's in the service industry. She's in the restaurant industry.
I am, which means I'm no longer
she
working.
She did her best.
So,
although you didn't get incredibly sick because
No.
You're very much vaccinated.
I am vaccinated. Double vaxxed. Don't have my booster. Have to wait to get my booster now because I got all COVID-ed
up. You have to wait like at least 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, which will make it easier to get, I'm sure, because I won't have to be rushing to get it.
That's true.
But yeah, I was just like, I was tired and felt like I had a cold. I wasn't, it wasn't an emergency situation.
That
I just
sucks,
had to
but also
hide from
that.
All my friends and family for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Which is really fun to do when you're also moving.
Yeah, what a weird combination that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. I was like, she's sick, but she's moving.
I am moving. So... I learned that I probably had COVID, and then I decided to, like, get the U-Haul anyway, because you don't have to, like, interact with anyone to do that.
No, it's, like, people-less.
Yeah, you just go do it.
Yeah.
So I moved, we moved a bunch of shit on Christmas Eve.
Well, I mean, why not?
Why not? We were, like, doing it, and we're like, I guess this isn't normal to have
a
U-Haul.
Like, I guess this is Christmas Eve. So festive.
That was my Christmas festivities. We were fucking U-Hauling it. And because we probably had COVID, we did have COVID, we weren't taking public transit, which I didn't think of. So we had to drop off the U-Haul like a solid hour and a bit walk away from our new place.
So you just had to like beep up boop.
Yeah, which is so great. So much fun. Dropped it off at like 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve and then walked back to our place.
It's so sad. But also very you to be like, I'll just walk an hour.
Whatever. Yeah, that was the thing.
What am I going to do?
We had scheduled it on the 27th and I was like, what if we change the date? My brother was like, yeah, we can do it on like the 30th or like do it later. I'm like, no, what if we do it tomorrow?
You're like, earlier. That's also very you.
Like, yeah, so that was fun. Merry Christmas. I'm doing Christmas on this weekend instead.
Well, we love being adaptable.
Yeah.
We love it. Yeah, I had an okay Christmas. I saw my family at a minimized amount.
Yeah.
It was good. I probably didn't have COVID. Some of my family did end up getting COVID, but not from Christmas.
Not from Christmas, yep.
Yeah, that's all. That's the end.
That's the end. Everyone's getting it. We're going down in droves.
Yeah. I mean, we're like medium locked down. Because Ontario, truthfully, has never had a true proper lockdown.
No, like.
Except for in the very, very
beginning. Maybe right at the very beginning. Like right now, most people are working. I was working at a restaurant, so I'm not working right now. And May is making zero money from the government. Thank you.
Oh, wow. We love our safety support
get
net.
Your shit That's together, good. Canadian government.
Garbaggio. I haven't been back at work because my work closes for a while.
Yeah.
Between Christmas and New Year's and beyond. We're probably opening, I think, next week.
Yeah.
So, not overjoyed about that.
Like, stay open, but maybe just like. At a limited capacity. That's the thing. The government's like, limited capacities. And everyone's like, what? My thing right now is like, I don't mind not having to work other than like not making any money. Like, I am cool not going anywhere right now. It's cold outside.
It's cold. It's a bummer.
It's
you
cold.
Might get the cold.
Everyone's like, gonna get COVID. Everything's stupid. I'm like, I can just stay in this apartment. I can find things to do. Like, I don't need to go anywhere.
I know. That's also my attitude to winter, just in general. It usually is our attitude to winter.
Yeah.
Though, I have been thinking that I want to get into, like, winter things. So, like, maybe I'll go on, like, a winter hike. So, who knows?
Okay. You don't like summer hikes.
I know. I don't like hikes that much.
Carly does not like walking. Why would you?
I don't love it, but...
Why would you go on a winter hike? Why don't you find a different winter activity?
Well, I like to be in nature, Cecilia. That's the problem. Yes. I love nature. I love it. I'm a big fan. Big fan of their work. The trees, great.
Yeah,
the ground, all good. Animals, doing their thing. Loving it.
I guess you can go like on a little hike, like a couple of minutes
More like a walk than a hike.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about going on a hike... is that I don't mind a hike, but when you hike, it's like fighting for your life. Like, it's insane. It's insanity. You and our outdoorsy friends, who we all love and know.
Carly, that's what hiking is.
Make choices.
You want to go for a walk?
I love a walk, okay? Through nature. I want to be Henry Thoreau. I just want to live in the trees, but also really close to a lot of people at all times. And then say I live in the forest, okay?
Yeah.
Is there a problem here?
Yes.
So when I say I want to go on a winter hike, I more so mean I want to go on a winter walk.
You want to go to the forest and...
be there for a while.
Stand.
Yeah, stand for a while. Look around.
Look around. Walk around a little bit.
Yeah. It's also, though, like, not snowy at all right now where we live.
It's not. All the snow melted.
So I'm going to wait for some more snow.
Yeah.
And then maybe do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go That's up to all. The forest.
Yeah. I don't want to scale a mountain. I don't want to, like... like hop through a ravine. I want to just like walk along a path. That's a path instead of like
a path, not a trail.
Not a trail. Not a no. Well, It could be a little bit of a trail. I just gotta wear my right shoes. That's my biggest downfall. I'm never wearing the right shoes either. I always make it out alive, Cecilia. I always make it out.
Carly never wearing the right shoes, Billings.
That's me. That's me in a nutshell.
That's gonna be on your headstone. On your tombstone, it's gonna be a Carly Billings. She never wore the right shoes.
She just never.
Cause of death.
Cause of death. Wrong footwear. She just could never wear the right probably. Shoes. Well, yeah, that's me. And you know what? That's okay. I'm okay with it because that's who I am.
You just have to accept.
And I have to be okay with it because if I won't.
Accept yourself for your flaws.
I'm going to embrace it. Yeah, I just can't get it right, man, with shoes. It's my blessing and my curse. So I am looking forward to a little bit of quiet winter activities, thoughts, a little bit introspective. Why not?
I'm going to hibernate. I'm not going outside until the spring.
That sounds right.
I say that, and then I'm going to, like...
go on a hike? A real one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be, like, a week, and I'll be, like, jumping off the walls.
That is classic you.
Yeah. But as of right now, I've decided I'm hibernating. I'm not going anywhere.
I like that for you. And the best thing about making sweeping declarations is you don't have to stick to them because we're all...
No, absolutely not.
Because who does? We're not in any position of authority.
No, absolutely not. No one can hold me to it.
I'm going to go on a winter hike. Cecilia's going to hibernate forever. That's it.
Not forever, just for the winter.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Just forever in winter, period.
Just until it gets warm out.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the spring. Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Okay, I didn't because I think New Year's resolutions are a little dumb.
Do you want to hear what my New Year's resolution was?
But I want to hear yours, absolutely.
Take more baths.
Oh my god, that was kind of what I was trying to do last year. Didn't work out.
My new apartment. My old one? Famously had the weirdest bath.
Infamously. Yeah, it was very strange.
Fancy shower. No bath.
Huge shower.
I had a big marble rain shower for some reason. and a door that didn't latch.
A door that was like sideways.
Yeah.
Like the weirdest angle and didn't close.
It was odd. But now I have an apartment with a normal bathroom.
Magic.
Like a regular old Toronto apartment bathroom.
A classic.
Yes. So I have a bathtub now, so that's my New Year's resolution. Wow. I'm going to take more baths. And you know what? I've been doing a great job so far.
Good for you. Yeah. Good. Well, because you're hibernating.
I'm hibernating, so. Makes it easy. What else makes would you easy. Do? I am taking baths. I watched all the Harry Potter movies. I started reading the Harry Potter books.
In one bath?
No, not in one bath.
Oh, thank
Over
God.
Over the course of, while I had COVID, what else was I going to do? I watched all the Harry Potter movies.
That's true.
And I had been in a state of denial and hatred of J.K. Rowling where I was like, I don't like Harry Potter that much.
Me too. That's where I am.
I watched all the movies and the last one, I just like sobbed. And then I watched the like Harry Potter 20th anniversary special.
The reunion
thing. And I also fucking sobbed. Like it started and I started crying.
Oh no. You're in that Harry Potter pocket.
Yeah, I'm in it. I'm rereading them, so.
Oh, wow. I am on team. I decided it's bad, but that's probably a bad thing because that's not fair to myself.
I was on team. I decided I'm bad, and then I went full 180, and now I'm, like, obsessed again. I'm like, fuck.
Harry Potter stan.
Here I am.
That's really funny.
Like, in denial for so long and just hating, and then I was, like, crying and, like...
Yeah. You're like, actually, no, I really
like
this.
Oh, wait. I was obsessed with this as a kid, and actually it was good, and I like it.
I know. I was obsessed with it as a kid, too. And I, like, feel like I've tried to deny my... Well, because there's, like, Harry Potter... I'm going to alienate some people.
I know, but Harry Potter fans.
It's like Disney adults.
Yes.
There's some serious Harry Potter adults,
yeah.
Which I love that for you, if that's you. That sounds great. But I tried really hard not to be that.
Yes. I always try to distance myself from fandoms in general because they're very...
Yes.
Like,
yeah, me
the
too.
People that are in them, I'm like, good for you. Like, you have no shame.
See, I used to be somebody who would like a little lean into things too hard. I'm the kind of gal who'll jump and I'll be like, yes, and.
Absolutely.
So if I was gonna be a part of something, I was like, I'm in it. Maybe that's where I'm at right now with Taylor Swift. Maybe. I'm just yes anding Taylor Swift, but also I stand behind her. She's a creative genius, so I don't care.
You always have to have something. But then often I'll have one thing that I'm obsessed with, and then everything else that I used to be obsessed with, I'm like, oh no, that's kind of annoying to be obsessed with that.
Oh no, that's annoying in bed.
Oh no. Where it's not necessarily the thing itself that's annoying. It's more like the way that people interact with it and become like obsessive around it, where it's like fans of like Star Wars. Like, I love Star Wars, but Star Wars fans are the worst.
Yeah.
Like, people that get mad, people that are like gatekeepy, like, or like annoying about stuff. I'm like, okay, but I'm not like that. Like, I really like this thing a lot, but
I just want to like the thing I like and have a good time.
I don't want to be like them. And then I'm like embarrassed because I'm like that. Yeah. And then I like actually interact with the thing and I'm like, okay, but I really like it and it's good.
Okay, but actually I think this is fun and good. Yeah, that's true. That's also how I feel about like Broadway and like musicals. Like I used to be so it. Like, I was obsessed. But Cecilia, last year you watched more musicals than I did. Like, let's be real here. Like,
oh, Carly.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with that. But do you want to hear what movies I watched on Christmas Day?
Always.
Would you like to hear the list? One sec. I have it on Letterboxd because I can't remember exactly, but it was ridiculous.
I love that.
So on Christmas Day, the first movie that I watched, because I was a little bit depressed that it was Christmas Day and had nothing to do. Of course. And I was like, okay, we're going to watch a movie. It's Christmas morning. Probably Christmas 2 p.m. because that's when I wake up. So
it's 2 p.m. morning.
I decided to put on Minions. And I watched Minions.
I think you told me that.
I think I sent you a message that I watched Minions.
But I definitely forgot and have refound joy in relearning. Yeah.
I watched Minions on Christmas Day, and I love that for you. My review of Minions is that it sucks, but Bob, King Bob, the character Bob, the Minion, himself, Bob, rules.
The capital T, capital M, Minion.
He rules. Long live King Bob. Love him. The rest of the things, everything else in the movie sucks. And then I watched the Star Wars Holiday Special, which is...
Oh, a classic.
A classic. I only watched good movies. And then I watched Cats, 2019's Cats.
No! I still have yet to watch it because I refuse. Carly, I'm scared of it. So funny. I'm so scared of it,
Carly,
it's Celia.
So funny.
Why are they that size? It doesn't... It hurts
it
my eyes.
It makes no sense.
I'm so scared.
It's wild. And then I didn't watch the whole thing on Christmas because it was nighttime and I had already watched too many movies. But I watched half of West Side Story and then I watched the rest of it the next day. And that's actually good.
Yay! The original West Side Story?
Yeah.
It slaps, right?
Not the new one. I haven't seen the new one
Me
yet.
Neither.
But yeah, OG West Side Story rules.
Oh, it's so good. I knew you would enjoy it. It's wonderful. Yeah. But so just imagine me at my aunt's house, age like... 9, watching as Riff is stabbed in the night fight, going no. There goes my favorite. Oh,
of course, every time.
Me starting to almost weep because no one told me my favorite is dies always.
Carly's favorite always dies.
My favorite always manages to die. Speaking of West Side Story, Sondheim.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like got away from Broadway fandomy things because I just like this is too much for me. Too much. Like, fans of Broadway energy is like the same kind of like, oh no, like cringy fandom feelings. But I'm like, but these people are just enjoying what they're enjoying. But I asked for Christmas for Sondheim's books, one of them being Finishing the Hat, which is like one of his famous books. It's a bunch of his lyrics and a bunch of musings and whatever. And he passed away last year. And so at the end of last year. And so I got it. It was the first gift I opened on Christmas. And I just started to cry. And my family was like, are you
okay?
Even
though you asked for it?
Yeah.
And you knew it was going to be there?
I didn't know it was going to be there, but I asked for it. And I thought I asked for it at, like, too late of a time to, like, I get it as a gift. Like, I thought maybe, oh, they'd already finished their shopping. But, like, I just opened it and I cried. So I'm just like, oh, I do like this thing. I forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it is fun and cool to like things and
it is.
Let people know that you like them. But sometimes just don't be that weird. That's all.
Just like relax. Like, it's great to like things and to, but don't like bother other people about the way that they're liking things. And don't.
That's it.
Like, if you like a piece of something, you can like that thing for what it is. And then if, like, the next thing doesn't live up to what you want it to be, but other people like it, just maybe let it be. Don't be annoying about it.
Yeah.
Like, I know one of the things about Harry Potter when I was a kid was that I read the books and then the movies weren't exactly like the books. So I was like, oh, I don't like this.
You're like, no, I like the books.
I was really annoying about it. But now watching the movies, I'm like, no, these are good. Like, oh, totally good. Have that sort of separation because I don't remember every single element of the books. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, this is fun. Like, oh, they're definitely missing things.
And you
but,
also...
Like, it doesn't matter.
You also recognize as an adult, you can't put every bit of a book into
you
a
movie.
You
cannot shove every bit into
That's
it.
That's not how they it's work. Like, they're different.
It's gonna be a little bit different. Yeah. Movies and books are not the same
Supposed
thing.
To be different, yeah.
Sometimes adaptations suck, but sometimes they're fine, and you don't have to fucking whine about it. You can just, you can be upset about it, but just, like, keep...
Move along.
Don't, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. I totally agree. I also just, like, I like to like things. I've always been someone who likes to like things.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not gonna not... an adult who likes to like things. I'm obviously going to be.
Don't make it your whole personality.
I'm not gonna make it my whole personality. That's that's the other thing. Yeah,
but if you want to make it your whole personality,
go
ahead,
for
but
it.
I will be slightly annoyed.
Go for it, but know that Cecilia and I, after the party, will go talk about you to one another and say why. Why are they like that? But that's good. Oh, it keeps life interesting. And it just is a reminder that we're assholes.
I know.
So.
That is, truly just us being assholes. And, like, if you want to just, like, do your fucking thing as long as it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah,
like,
we're into that.
But we will make fun of you.
But, yeah, a little, like, razzing.
Behind your back.
Like, behind your back, yeah.
Maybe a little bit to your face, depending on who you are.
That's true. And if it's to your face, then you know that you're in. You're cool.
You're in.
You're fine. You're good. But something else we're obsessed with, Cecilia. Ghosts.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Ghosts.
Yeah, ghosts, man. We love ghosts. Sure. We're big on ghosts around this here partner.
All around these here parts.
Around these here parts,
and around
partner.
These here parts, we're going to tell you all about ghosts. And today, to start off 2022, we're just doing another classic choose your own.
Classic choose your own. Do you want to walk our friends through what a choose your own is in case they haven't been here before?
Oh, they know what it is.
Or in case they've forgotten, it's been a year.
Or in case they forgot, it's been a whole year.
They haven't seen us since last year.
I live in a whole new apartment.
That's
I had
right.
COVID.
There's so many changes.
You didn't have COVID.
I didn't have COVID. I didn't
house.
Move.
yeah. So many things have happened.
So many I did watch all of Succession since last year.
Oh, I haven't yet. Okay, I gotta finish it.
Whoa. I understand. See? Another thing that everyone's obsessed with. I understand
Yes,
why.
That's true. It's good.
Everyone's talking about it, and I can see why.
I'm on season 2. Kendall just did a rap, and it was great.
That rap? Honestly, was good. Why are they mad at this stupid white rich white boy? I got so mad they got mad at him. It was actually good. He's spitting fire.
Okay, and that's Carly's take. Carly loved.
Oh, I loved it because it was
the most.
That's
where Carly's coming from. She loved
I loved
Kendall's
it.
Rap.
It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my whole life. I was obsessed with it.
It was so cringy.
It was so, but it was so, he was so genuine. It was so funny.
It was so oh my God.
Funny. I loved it. I'm obsessed with it. I want to watch it again. I think I will.
Spoilers for Succession, Kendall does a rap.
Kendall does a rap in season 2 and it's kind of everything. And everyone is so
it's
embarrassed
good.
Of it, but I'm obsessed. I thought it was so
Carly...
funny. The pinnacle of comedy. Also, why are people not calling this a comedy? It's one of the funniest shows I've ever...
They are.
I know, but it's always billed as a drama. Like, it's a dark comedy. Like, that's what it is.
It's very funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. And I know people are saying it's a comedy, but, like, I'm looking at, like, where I'm streaming it, it's listed only as drama. I'm like, this is a drama. Like, this is the funniest shit. This is not drama. Period.
So that's our Succession corner.
I'm
still on season 2. Carly watched it all in, like, 3 days, because that's what Carly does.
That's what I do. That's who I am.
Anyway, choose your own.
Choose your own! That's something else I like to do, is choose my own.
We each choose a story, and we tell each other about it. And we don't
That's right.
know what each other... We don't know what
no.
we picked.
can be from anywhere, anywhen, usually ghosts. And it's a surprise to both of us what the other one's saying.
So, ghosts.
Ghosts. We're choosing our own.
We choose our own, and now we're...
We choose them.
We're telling you about them.
That's right. And you like it, so...
You have to.
You like it.
You have no choice. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you do. In 2022, everyone's New Year's resolution is to like this podcast.
Oh my god, it is. And it's to listen to every week and come back and enjoy.
And you have to.
Yeah, because everyone knows New Year's resolutions, you have to do them or else by the end of the year, you die.
As we were talking about them earlier, we are very serious about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, Carly is so serious, she made 30, right?
She did.
And she's talking in third person because that's how serious she is about it.
Okay.
Yeah, Steely's going to start us off.
Oh my god, it's time to talk about ghosts. Guess what, Carly?
What?
My story isn't a ghost story.
What in the freaking hell? Could never have guessed. I could not see that coming. It's not as if... What?
This has never happened before.
Never before in my life.
I've never done this before.
It better be spooky, though.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I'm back on my bullshit. 2022, everything has changed and nothing's changed. And I'm gonna tell y'all about a conspiracy theory.
Oh my god. I'm very excited.
About a location, which could be haunted because of this conspiracy theory, but mostly just has the Illuminati and lizard people and stuff. And this place is the Denver International Airport.
Oh my god, I'm so excited! I'm so excited! Wow, okay, I was gonna razz you a bit for not choosing ghosts for the start of the year, but I'm into this. Let's dive
in. This is too good. We're going to Denver. We're going to Colorado. My research was from the actual airport website.
Love itself, that.
Straight from the source.
Straight from the source, baby.
Atlas Obscura, the Denver Channel, Insider, Lavaz, maybe another couple Colorado newspapers. Don't know.
We love some heavy hitters and some classics.
We're doing it. So probably not haunted, but weird as hell. Haunted by the Illuminati. So, Denver International Airport is...
Allegedly. Allegedly. This is all alleged.
Conspiracy theory.
So, nobody come for us, please. Thank you.
Illuminati, don't come for us.
Unless you want us to join. Okay, moving on.
We don't have
anybody. No, I'm kidding. Allegedly.
Allegedly, it is the largest airport in North America and the second largest in the world.
Pretty sure that's actually just a fact.
Sure that's a fact. It's a big fucking airport, and it was opened in February 1995. It was $3 billion over budget and about 15 months behind schedule.
Dang.
So everyone was like, why is that? Why is it so over budget? Why did it take so long? And it's also filled with, like, weird designs and artworks that have led to some pretty wild conspiracy theories.
Nice.
Since it's been opened. So the big set piece of the Denver International Airport is the Blue Mustang, which is this big fucking blue horse located outside the airport. It's in a median, so you can't access it. They're originally going to build it as kind of like a park that you could go and like go right up to it, but after 9/11 they're like, no, we don't want people loitering around the airport. So it's just in a median. It is a 32-foot tall fiberglass statue of a blue Mustang. It has glowing red eyes, and it's very anatomically correct. So it has prominent veins, and also just like a so full-on butthole and like a big horse dog.
All the bits. All the horse bits that you could imagine.
Yeah, so it looks creepy. I'll put a picture in the Instagram, but I'm sure people have seen it. It's
pretty infamous, like, and once you've seen it, you won't forget it.
It's gonna be burned into your mind. So it's notable because it is huge and freaky,
yeah,
and like the first thing you see when you're driving into the airport, or like the first thing you see in Denver when you're driving out of the city, you're like,
"Hate it." It's so scary.
And also, it killed its creator.
Ah, give it to us.
So it was commissioned in 1992, and made by Luis Jimenez. But it wasn't put up until 2008 because of all the like shit around it. So the original proposal was for a sculpture of a buffalo stampede, but people were like, we kind of hunted buffalo to extinction almost here, so maybe that's not the best optics.
They're like, hey, we did a lot of crimes against
hey,
nature.
Maybe don't focus on
indigenous peoples, and we don't want to put that on display.
So Jimenez, he proposed a Mustang instead. He's like, I'm just gonna build a big fucking horse, and they're like, sure.
So every time you say Mustang, I just also need to mention that I'm only picturing a car. I know that's not correct.
It's not a car.
I know it's actually a big ass horse. But anytime I hear someone say Mustang, I only think of the red convertible car from Mary-Kate and Ashley's Getting There. That's all I can think about.
Well, picture that, but blue.
Perfect. Okay, there we are. Got it.
Yep.
So that instead of buffalo. Good.
Yeah, it's not a buffalo. It's a big blue car. No, it's a horse. So the artist had like a bunch of problems already when he was building the big fucking horse. He had a heart attack, and then he required surgery on his hands while he was building it. So he already had a bunch of health issues.
Oh, man.
The city sued him for having missed deadlines. And then in 2006, which was like, it was commissioned in 1992, so it took a while.
Yeah.
In 2006, in his studio in Hondo, New Mexico, one of the sculpture's three sections came loose from a hoist and pinned him against a steel support beam, which severed an artery in his leg, causing him to bleed to death on his studio floor. So he was like, killed by this giant piece of artwork.
Killed by giant blue horse.
So this story is kind of like grown out of control a little bit as well,
sure,
as these stories tend to do, especially since it's a big fucking horse. So people are like, the actual artwork like reared up and killed its creator, where it's like, not really. It was like a middle piece and it just like fell off of
the support. Was it the piece that had the big ding dong?
I don't know.
That would be really funny, but sad. Oh.
Oh my God. No.
I don't want to spread more rumors. There's already enough rumors out there. This man
already
did not
enough.
Get killed by a
this
big
poor
horse
man.
Dog. Okay.
No, this poor man just got like crushed.
Crushed. That's awful.
So after his death,
he didn't even get
family,
crushed. He bled out.
He bled out in your studio. He was just trying to.
You know, he's just standing there like, well, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, he's like, fuck, why did I make this thing so, like, freaky looking? People are gonna really blow this out of proportion.
Oh, no! If only he had the foresight.
And they did. So after he died, his friends and family considered just, like, destroying the incomplete statue.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Jimenez's staff and his family completed it, and they shipped it off to Denver, where it was unveiled at the airport on February 11th, 2008. The giant horse is a very controversial figure in Denver. Some people love it. They're like, yeah, this rules. This is such a fun thing that we have.
Wild.
Other people, in 2009, shortly after, someone made a Facebook group requesting that the statue be removed and had a lot of, like, traction with that. But ultimately, the creator was like, never mind. You guys can leave it up. I'm not that attached to this opinion anymore.
Love that.
And there's, like, constantly, there's so many articles on the internet from every couple years being like, are they going to take down the big fucking horse? And
yeah.
They haven't.
Do
They're not
they
going
care?
To.
No, it's a big fucking horse. They like it.
They like it. People believe
they
that
like
it's,
it.
Like, cursed or demonic or haunted or just kind of creepy, especially because of the death involved and because it's creepy. Its nickname is Blucifer.
So good! So good!
The artist's estate, Jimenez's estate, isn't a big fan of the name or the rumors of it being demonic or cursed.
Of course they're not.
Of course.
Of course it's, they're not. They're not going to welcome that.
No, they're like, maybe don't. It's like a beautiful work of art. Its glowing red eyes are actually a tribute to Jimenez's father, who owned a neon store in Mexico, which is super cool.
That's so cool. We love neon. Big fan.
I want to own a neon store in Mexico. That sounds like great.
Oh my God. That sounds like the start of a book.
Yeah. I'm dropping everything and opening a neon store in Mexico as my tribute to this guy's father.
Luis is really into this story. She's gonna change your whole life's back.
I'm changing my whole life. I'm basing it off of Luis Jimenez's father. The horse is also representative of the spirit of the West and of long distance travel. Airport. As well as a tribute to the artist's own horse. So it's wholesome.
Aww, deep that's down, really sweet.
It's really fucking creepy.
Come on, Blucifer. That's so cute.
We stan Blucifer.
We're big fans.
All right. Some other fun artworks in the airport. The art inside the airport is also believed to contain hidden meanings, hinting at more sinister forces at work there. Ooh. So one thing that people think are creepy, but I think are just like kind of fun and cool, in the east and west baggage claim areas, there are these gargoyle statues, but the gargoyles are like sitting in suitcases. So there's like suitcase statues built around the gargoyles.
That's cute.
According to theorists, oh, they're titled Notre Denver by Terry Allen. Also fun.
That's really fun.
This airport just has a sense of humor. But theorists are like, they are a harbinger of evil or something nefarious.
What?
But why? They're kind of just fun. Because
they're gargoyles?
They're just a fun piece of art. The artist says that they loom over the baggage claim as protectors, which is like what gargoyles are. They're meant
to ward off like bad vibes. They're not the bad vibes themselves.
No, they're not the bad vibes. They're like Lucifer. They look fucking creepy, but deep down.
Well, it's like it's a gothic thing. Like it's like a they're here to be like evil. Go home.
But they're trying to get demons to go home. Not people.
Yeah. No, not people. Maybe they're trying to get Blucifer to go home.
And then also in February 2019, they put on a talking gargoyle on display who, like,
stop!
Refers to the conspiracy theories, too. Like, it's like a self-aware gargoyle. So he says things like,
stop!
Welcome to Illuminati headquarters. In kind of like a nod to the conspiracy theories. Or people are like, no, it's not a joke. He's just confirming.
Stop. They're like, they're saying it's a joke, but they're putting it right in front of us.
They're just putting it right in front of our eyes to distract
That's
us.
So funny. That's
it's
so
really
funny.
Good. There's also a time capsule at the airport that has a dedication plaque that has sparked theories. So it's on display near the South Security Checkpoint, and it has a time capsule. It reads, "The time capsule beneath this stone contains messages and memorabilia to the people of Colorado in," I wrote 1094, but I think it's 2094.
In 1094, you will open it. Go back in time and open
travel
it.
Time capsule. We're actually sending it back. Oh, that's
back in time. You're welcome.
So either there's a whole other conspiracy theory that I'm missing in which this is being sent back in time, or it's 2094.
Hey, that's not too far off.
No. I mean,
that's only 100 years since it was opened.
Yeah, so it's 100 years.
Or just about.
It was supposed to be 100 years. And then they took too long to open.
And then it was delayed. Yeah. Correct. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's only 100 years.
Yeah.
Is that long for a time capsule? Or is that regular?
I feel like that's long for a time capsule. Wouldn't time capsules... I guess time capsules are usually, like, 50 years or something.
I guess,
so that people will still be alive.
Dear listeners, what are the average time capsule lengths? We don't know.
How long are time capsules?
We're not well-versed in our time capsuling.
I guess, like, everyone that made this time capsule will be dead when they open the time capsule. So it's a long time.
Well, not necessarily.
Or, like, over 100 years old.
Or, like, at 100 years old, yeah.
Yeah, if you made the time capsule when you were a baby.
What if you're a baby? What if you put your baby handprint inside?
Don't remember.
No! No, but you were in the time capsule. I guess that would be cool,
but now you're 100 years old and you made it when you were a baby.
Yeah, that could have been us. What if we put our baby handprints in there?
We could have put our baby handprints if we were in Colorado in 1994.
And we might be there when they open
we
it.
We might. Who knows? In 1094 when we're 100 years old.
What if? We might be. We might still be doing this podcast. Just crackling away. We'll sound like this. Hello.
I'm still going to sound like this when I'm 100 years old.
I'm going to change my voice.
on purpose. Acting.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like this normally, but then I'm going to talk like this. Oh, hello, dearie.
Hello, dearie. It's us. Ghosts are everywhere. It's our 90s.
Ghosts are everywhere.
What would 2094 be? Our, like, 80th anniversary or something? When did we start?
Probably.
85th anniversary.
I don't know. Who knows?
I can't do math.
Time isn't real.
Anyway, this time capsule, the plaque reads, it's dedicated from the New World Airport Commission. So people are like, this has to do with the New World Order.
Yeah, because it's New World in the title. So they're like,
so that's
we get it.
The conspiracy that a group of global elites is planning a dictatorship to take over the Earth.
Ooh.
Which, like, they don't have to. They already have control of the Earth.
They already do it. Do you watch Succession? That's the whole point.
Rich people...
He calls the president, and the president lets him do anything
right.
He wants.
They don't need it. Anyway.
They don't need it.
Conspiracy theories, you're looking too far into it. They're already taking over.
But I guess that's part of the conspiracy, is that they're already doing it. But they're working together. But
they're working together, and that's what the New World Order is. And the New World Airport Commission is an airport for the New World Order.
No.
So the plaque also has a Freemason symbol on it, a symbol that's often associated with the Illuminati. The plaque has made some believe that the airport was built by and for secret societies to do their nefarious dealings.
Secret airport things.
Airport spokesperson, Alex Renteria, I don't know. She says that the Freemasons just built the plaque and then delivered it.
They paid for the plaque or whatever.
And that the phasing of the New World Airport Commission refers to the fact that it was a new international airport, so a new world airport.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. There's like a whole, it was the airport's 25th anniversary last year.
Yeah. Okay.
So they did a bunch of, like, fun things in 2020, they did a bunch of fun things, and one of them was there's just, like, a document that they put together that's, like, what are some of the conspiracy theories, and, like, debunking them.
That's so cool.
So that was kind of funny. But also, there's a couple of articles that this spokesperson, Alex Renteria, spoke to people, and they kind of just, like, go along with all of the conspiracies. They don't go along with them. They, like, debunk them, but they're like, this is fun, whatever.
Right. They're like, we like it, but also no. Yeah. If you rearrange the letters in Alex Renteria, it spells out Lucifer. Watch out.
But there are two murals on walls, and they're painted by Leo Tanguma, and they're titled The Children of the World Dream in Peace. Dream of Peace, and In Peace and Harmony with Nature. Both of these paintings are in two sections, one depicting a scene of, like, destruction and the other showing peace and happiness. And people have looked at the scenes of destruction as being, like, what is going to happen. They're like, this is what the Illuminati wants, and they're full of themes of, like, genocide, death, Nazism, and an apocalyptic New World Order style, like, one government overruling everything kind of world. So people are like, it's not just a painting, it's what they want the world.
It's their agenda.
They're showing us what the world's gonna be. But it's also like only one section of a two section painting, so it's like, this is what the world could be and that's bad, and this is what the world should be and that's good. So I don't know, people are weird.
Yeah, people are weird.
This one's the biggest stretch possibly, and that it's there's secret messages on the floor. There's an inscription on the floor of the Great Hall, or there's like a whole sort of thing on the floor of the Great Hall, that has different like messages and stuff. And one of the inscriptions says AUAG, like capital A, capital U, capital A, capital G, two words. Okay. And conspiracy theorists say that that means Australian antigen, and that is the Illuminati's secret weapon that they're going to use in their genocide of the whole world. But
what is it? They don't know because they're not the Illuminati.
It's the Australian antigen, Carly.
I'm sorry. We definitely know what that is, and we know that that's a real
thing. It's an antigen. It's like COVID, but worse. It's going to kill everybody in the Illuminati.
I have a feeling that's not true.
But AUAG also happen. It just happens to be the atomic symbols for silver and gold.
That's what I was thinking. That's literally what I was thinking.
They're covering it up, Carly. They're saying that it's representative of Colorado's mining history.
But that's what the actual line is. They're saying it's because like silver and gold is actually what it's supposed to be.
That is what it is. But
that's what the Colorado. That's what Colorado wants you to think.
That's what the airport wants. That's what the Illuminati wants us to think.
Okay, well, you know what? I really did think, wow, that's silver and gold. I didn't think, wow, that's the Australian antigen. Something I've definitely heard of before.
So it's like a larger, it is a traditional Native American design on the floor, created with a grid similar to those used to create Cubist and Constructivist paintings. This cool. is straight from the website.
Straight
the
from
Colorado
the art.
Airport. The river pattern emerging from the wings of the piece suggests the four rivers of Colorado's Great Divide, while bronze pictographs embedded in the terrazzo tell the history of the state. So that's like representative of the mining history.
Right.
Or Italian.
It's
tied
in it.
Australian antigen.
Plain sight. Australian antigen.
There's also, people think that aliens gave the coordinates of where to build the airport so that they can land their ships there, and that's because of the Spielberg film Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In that movie, the aliens give coordinates to the people. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Me neither.
But everyone's like, oh my god, those coordinates, they take you right to the Denver International Airport.
But so they're also saying, though, that Spielberg then talked to the aliens to put it in the movie.
So they're saying that aliens told them where to put the airport, and then Spielberg somehow knew about this and put it in his movie, because it's true. Because movies are true and real.
Because all movies are true and real. And Spielberg
all movies. Close Encounters of the
no
Third
Kind.
Has
no artistry. He only is here for the truth.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind is a, it's actually nonfiction.
No. It, like Jaws, it's a biopic. So
yeah, it's a biopic. Jaws is a biopic of
famously.
The Jaws shark.
Yeah, of the shark. Yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
the shark. This also just, like, isn't true. It's kind of a coincidence that the coordinates do take you near the airport, but it's, like, 51 miles northwest of the airport, so not that close.
That's funny. Mm. 51 miles? That's, like, 100 kilometers.
I know, it's not close.
That's like saying, oh, I went to Niagara Falls, New York. It's the same as Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
that's a different
50
country.
Miles like, northwest. It's not that close. Really not that close.
No.
Carly, but there's one of our favorite things in here. If you're on the Ghost or anywhere bingo, you can cross this off.
Oh,
we got
God.
Tunnels. We got tunnels at this airport.
We love tunnels. We haven't heard about tunnels in a while.
We haven't been
to any
tunnels.
I'm so excited.
But there are lots of tunnels under this airport. And conspiracy theorists believe that the airport took so long to fucking make because they're making some really, really, really long tunnels.
the longest tunnels in the land.
Literally, they think that these airport tunnels are connected to the Cheyenne Mountains. Mountain?
Sure.
Which is the home of NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command.
They tell us where Santa is on Christmas.
Yeah,
that's what I know
also,
where NORAD is.
That's what NORAD is. But they also have, like, bunkers and shit at this mountain, which is 120 miles away from the airport.
So they're saying the...
There's really long tunnels.
Cecilia, that's like saying there's nearly tunnels from Toronto to Ottawa.
Yeah. So there's these tunnels, and that's where they take you to the Cheyenne Mountain, where NORAD is, where they have survival bunkers for the Illuminati. And the others believe that the airport... Oh, no, let's go back to Cheyenne Mountain. The spokesperson that I was talking about before, Alex Renteria, she says, "We wish, if you'd like to visit Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs, we offer direct flights daily, because it's far." Because
it's far!
However, the Hardin Command and Control Center that was built as a defense against long-range Soviet bombers during the height of the Cold War is now closed to the general public. She also stated that the tunnels only extend out to the perimeter of the airport and are full of baggage and employees working to get the baggage where it needs to go. So they're baggage tunnels.
Yeah, like every airport has tunnels beneath it so that shit can get places and so you don't have to see it.
Well, people are like...
Hello?
People are like, they won't let you into the tunnels. And they're like, yeah, because they're... Because
they work
limits.
There. They're busy.
They're not for you. You don't work here. That's like basic airport security.
Do you work here? They're not going to let you go beneath the airport. They think you're gonna do a...
You don't work
do
there.
Do something bad.
Yeah. No, this there. Is post 9/11. You can't just go wherever the fuck you want in an airport, you
weirdo. You can't just go in the airport tunnels, buddy. You don't work here. You don't have the clearance.
I was thinking that the NORAD control center, it's close to the general public. Why is it close to the general public? There's a conspiracy theory.
It's close to the general public because they know where Santa is, and they can't always tell you.
They have Santa there.
They have Santa lives
there. They're holding Santa there.
They're holding Santa hostage.
More tunnel conspiracies. Other believe that the airport took so long to build because they were building actual... underground bunkers at the airport.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes more sense than the long-ass tunnel.
Yeah, that to me I would buy much more than the tunnel stretched so many places.
It's like, why would you make an 120-mile escape route through tunnels when you could just build bunkers underneath the airport? So that's what
also, they're
going
to make the Illuminati elite walk 120 miles to get to the safety.
No, they have the little carts. They got
golf carts down there?
They have little golf carts, yeah, obviously.
All right.
No, but they do, people do believe that there's underground bunkers to which the Illuminati could flee during the apocalypse, their planned apocalypse, or that the tunnels could be home to, it's where the aliens or the lizard people are hiding.
Yes. Yeah. Until they're ready after AUAG. So then
AUAG, that's where the Illuminati flee, or that's just where the aliens and the lizard people are hiding, because they don't want to be seen by the general public. Also, people are like, the airport landing strips were built for aliens because of close encounters of the third kind. It built for, like, alien spacecraft to land there. Also, another conspiracy theory is that the airport landing strips are kind of shaped like a swastika.
Stop. Which, that actually is funny. Like, not funny, but, like, that maybe is true.
It's kind of a stretch. Like, if you look at them, you have to kind of, look at them kind of, like,
squint a bit.
Squint.
Ignore a few of them. Yeah.
Like, maybe.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So,
that seems the most plausible out of all of this is what I'm trying to say.
The spokesperson that I was talking about before, she says, "I encourage anyone who does believe in it, keep believing," she said. "Who knows? Maybe someday we will see a lizard person." And then the article's like, if there's no lizard people, are there at least aliens? And she said, "There are no aliens. This isn't a place where aliens can land their ship. I guess that's what we call them." No, unfortunately, I feel like that would be against FAA regulations for anything to land beside aircraft.
LOL.
Which, FAA. That's what the aliens want us to think.
That's what FAA wants you to think. They've allowed them to come before.
She also says, it's not as exciting as everybody wants it to be, but I think that's why we love it so much. Let's get excitement around our airport. And that's okay if people think we're weird and have the Illuminati and that aliens land their spaceships here. That's fine with us. Keep thinking it. And we'll keep trying to prove you wrong, but we're not afraid to embrace those conspiracies.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's fun. They're, like, playing along.
Yay. Yay for the Denver airport.
In 2020, when it was the 25th anniversary, they also, like, put up posters that were, like, do we have aliens here? And kind of, like, nodding to the conspiracy theories. So they really play along.
That's funny.
Which just makes the conspiracy theorists kind of be, like, they're just, like, putting the truth.
Taunting us.
They're putting the truth in plain sight to make us... make us feel silly. They're taunting us.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
That's so funny. I think that's a really smart way to, you know, get through these pandemic days we're living in. An airport is not a place that gets as much action as it would normally. Mm-hmm. And we know how we feel about this. We love when places embrace their weird and wonderful things
love it.
They've got going on. There's nothing worse than a place being like, absolutely fucking not. Like, we're like, in what? Like, just
play along.
Play along.
It's fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fun. At the very, who's it hurting? At the very least, like, at the most, who's it hurting?
Yeah.
Nobody. No. Yeah. Love it. Oh, that's fun, Cecilia. Thank you.
What do you got? You got a ghost for us?
I might have a ghost or two up my very short sleeves today. I am heading nowhere on this side of the world. We're hopping across to Egypt's Valley of the Kings.
Ooh. Okay.
Got an oldie and a goldie, baby.
All right. Oldly settled?
Oh, oldly.
All right. I only went back to 1995. You're really...
Buckle up, because these years are something.
I only went to Denver.
I went to fucking Egypt, man. I'm bringing the heat today. Nestled in the Egyptian desert, on the west bank of the Nile, opposite Thebes, lies a place that every elementary eyewitness books enthusiast would recognize and revere. The Valley of the Kings. Remember those eyewitness books? Those books
where
it was like,
absolutely.
Ancient Egypt. Here's a bunch of pictures of ancient shit that you could look at. And you and all your friends will all individually believe you're going to be Egyptologists.
Oh my
and
God,
never
absolutely.
Talk about it, but you will definitely like, believe it for some reason.
This is a real job that I can do. I can be an Egyptologist. I can just like look at old shit all day.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Also, Thebes makes me think of the Disney movie Hercules.
Me too. That's my first thought.
I would be like, I should look it up and see what it looks like today.
It's just like a city. It's also not called Thebes anymore.
No, it's not called Thebes anymore.
I know.
They
surprised.
Changed it.
Surprise.
How dare they?
But yeah, it's shocking to me the amount of friends that I've brought up the idea that I wanted to be an Egyptologist as a kid. And they're like, me too!
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to probably at least like 5 of us. Like,
because that was like one of the, it was one of the things that they like really pushed in elementary school that you thought was going to be way more important is like ancient Egypt and like medieval castles and shit.
Totally.
And dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And, like
all the heavy hitters I use in my everyday
life. Heavy hitters that you would just be like obsessed with. And you're like, this is really important and I really have to focus on this. I really have to learn all about it.
Yeah, the other thing that I got really obsessed with, but I think this was just a me thing, was the Titanic.
Yeah.
I think that is a specifically me thing, but I was convinced I was going to be an Egyptologist, and then I was like, okay, actually, maybe I'll be, like, a Titanic scholar.
Did you
have
those, like, ology books? Like, Egyptology?
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I had them, but I took them out from the library for sure.
Oh, we had a whole bunch of them. So, they were fun, because there would be, like, Egyptology, where it would be, like, real things, but then I also had like vampireology and like dragonology, so it was like, this is also real and also very important for me to know that. I was obsessed with the dragonology book.
Of course, you would be.
Dragons, I need to
know
all about them. I
definitely need to know the ology.
Yeah, this is very important to my life for me to know all about dragons.
Yeah.
Were you a dinosaur kid or were you a dragon kid?
I was a dinosaur kid, but I thought that dragons were cool, but not like, I wasn't a very like fantastical dragon kid. Yeah.
See, I was a like medieval Europe like dragon kid.
I was medieval, like, crusader vibes. Okay,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Real, that was, like, real problem vibes.
Castles, but then also, like, yeah. Wizards and dragons. It was a lot of fiction.
I was more wizards than dragons. Let's just put it that way. I was much more sorcery than dragonology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always have been, always will be.
Anyway, Egypt.
Anyway, Egypt, the Valley of the Kings. It was here that for a period of nearly 500 years... that tombs were excavated for pharaohs and nobles of ancient Egypt. Between the 16th and 11th century BC, if you want some good years, there you go.
Holy shit.
For an exact time frame. While this is an area of major archaeological significance, it's difficult to know exactly how many are buried there, because again, 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
Though the valley, there's actually two, by the way, the east and the west being where more of the royal tombs are, is known to hold at least 63 tombs and chambers. Being around so many mummies and their resting places, it's no surprise that many have believed in the curse of the pharaohs, or the mummy's curse.
Oh my god.
Most famously, the curse of King Tut's tomb.
Hell yeah.
Let's get into this!
This isn't really ghosts!
Not yet.
Ah!
Okay. These legendary curses cause bad luck, illness, or death on those who disturb these tombs. Since the 1950s, many have argued that these curses have a scientific explanation in things like bacteria or radiation, but mostly these curses can blame Europe for their origin rather than from the actual source. They hold mostly only cultural merit rather than scientific. So I'm going to debunk a little right off the bat. But it's fun.
Are you telling me curses aren't real, Carly?
You're telling me ancient curses aren't real?
I've seen
though
the
there
mummy.
there are some ancient curses that it's appear real. Inside or on the facade of a tomb of, you know, a pharaoh or two.
Yeah.
Though they would most likely have been put there as a direction to ancient priests to maintain the tomb's ritual purity rather than as a warning to potential robbers. So it's more of a make sure you sweep the desert sand away.
So it's not a curse. Steps. It's like maintenance instructions.
More like a more like a janitor's like handbook he who comes here will, you know. It's not as deep as that.
Okay.
Though this idea of a pharaoh's curse was put on international display with the discovery and opening of King Tut, or King Tutankhamun's tomb.
Everyone's favorite guy.
Everyone's favorite guy. One of the most inconsequential leaders of ancient Egypt.
I know.
But
I love
the
it.
Famousest pharaoh.
Was he like because 12?
He was a boy king. He was a boy king who was unwell. And died really young.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of stuff I've watched on King Tut is too much for this boy, for this boy king who didn't do anything. But it's, he's really famous because Howard Carter and his team discovered his tomb fully intact in November of 1922.
Mm-hmm.
So this tomb's discovery was incredible. The whole tomb had remained unopened. All treasures, all, you know, finds intact for thousands of years.
Which
is super rare because everyone knew that these tombs were there for thousands of years. Plenty of times, you know, people had broken in, taken things, you know, through the years, you know.
Especially like 1922, like. Like Europeans had already been there for a long time just like fucking shit up. So like surprising that no one had been there before them.
Right? Like, there was a humongous craze for Egyptology mummies in, like, the Victorian era.
Yeah.
So just, like, the century prior. And it was, like, and it had been a huge thing for probably about 100, like, they had been there, Europeans had already been there for, like, 100 years, basically, in the area, on and off. And just stealing shit, because that's what Europeans do best.
Or, like, wars and stuff happening in the area. Yes, like...
of course. When something's around for thousands of years, it usually doesn't stay intact, you know? Like, think about, like, if I dig a hole and leave a penny there and I dig it back up in 10 years, it might not even be there, you know?
Squirrel
might have taken it, put it in its little hidey hole, okay?
Yeah. Are there squirrels in Egypt?
Do they got Egypt scrolls?
I don't think so.
No, they definitely, they have jackals. They got like things like Anubis. Like Anubis is a jackal.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Anubis could have broken in and stolen everything.
Maybe Anubis is, no, we can't blame Anubis. He's a god.
Aliens could have broken in there and stolen everything.
They really could have. Because we all know they built the pyramids.
Yes.
Okay, we're really joking. We're really joking with that one. Because that people actually really believe that. So we have to really say that we don't.
That's because
that.
Of racism. Oh my god. Non-Europeans can't do shit like this. So it must have been aliens.
Must have been aliens. It's only that. It's only the only way. Oh god. Anyways, this tomb discovery, as we were saying, it was incredible. And, like, there was so much there that they could use to then learn about even ancient Egypt. Like, there was just, like, so much cultural wealth of knowledge, you know, wealth of, literal wealth, gold and shit. Like, yeah. There's just a lot there. And the supposed curse would claim its first victim the very day the tomb was opened.
Oh, my God.
So I got a lot of my information today from Wikipedia, MapQuest.com, TravelTriangle.com, JoshuaDawidat.com, and I watched a video on YouTube by Thoughty2 called Why the Curse of Tutankhamun Might Be Real, which I never watch videos, but
you said it popped up in my, like, Wikipedia? Heard of it?
Wikipedia? Have you heard of it?
Do you know? Wikipedia?
It's anyway. A really underground thing where I got a lot of my information, and you're welcome.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't usually watch videos, but this one I was like, It popped up. I was already researching it and it popped up. They're watching. Anyways.
They're always watching. I was like, the Illuminati. I'll watch it. The New World Order. They're always watching.
The New World Order saw that I Googled the Valley of the Kings. And so they said, she wants to watch this video. They weren't wrong. So thank you.
Illuminati.
They're out here doing the good work. Recommending me the videos I need to watch.
Thanks, Illuminati.
Thanks, Illuminati. Howard Carter. So this is the day the tomb was opened. Howard Carter sent a messenger on an errand to his house. On arrival, the messenger heard a, and I quote, faint, almost human cry. And when he reached the entrance, he saw Carter's birdcage was occupied not by his pet bird, but by a cobra. And that's as spooky. You and I, Egyptologist Cecilia, know, this snake, this classic symbol of the Egyptian monarchy, was there. And that's like, bad news, yeah. Bears. And this cobra had Carter's canary in its mouth, dead.
Ooh.
So, like I said, not a good omen.
No.
The next and bad, first human to get got by the curse was Lord Carnarvon, the money behind the excavation. Lord Carnarvon. He was the lord who lived in the Downton Abbey house. He was the earl that was his estate. So
okay.
he was the real life Downton Abbey.
He was Mr. Downton Abbey.
He was Mr. Downton himself. While he was visiting the excavation site, he was bitten by a mosquito on the cheek. And a week later, the bite was nicked while he was shaving. It became infected, and he suffered blood poisoning and died.
Oh my god, imagine getting blood poisoning in your fucking face.
Yeah, that sounds awful. That sounds horrible. But not before English novelist Marie Corelli had a letter published in New York World Magazine quoting an obscure book that said, dire punishment would follow any intrusion into a settled tomb.
Mm.
So, needless to say, a media frenzy was unleashed upon his death, and the curse of King Tut was on every front page.
How long did you say this was after they opened the tomb?
They opened the tomb in November. He died in 23, so it was a few months after, okay. I think. But it was when he was down there, he got bit by a mosquito.
Yeah, so it couldn't have been that long.
Yeah, no.
He still had a mosquito bite.
No, he had a mosquito bite. And also, like, I always think of, like, an excavation. They go, they take it, they take everything out. Like, no, especially in those times, it takes a long time. They have to, like, catalog.
They have, like, a fucking boat ride back.
Yeah, like, travel and yeah. So, they were there at the site for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
On and off, of course.
Yeah.
It was such a cultural phenomenon that, this made me laugh, Mussolini, who used to love mummies, had one he had been gifted removed from his residence.
Ooh.
This Italian people are superstitious, man. He's like, yeah. Get it gone.
Yeah.
No Egyptology for me. And he wasn't the only famous guy affected by this whole thing. Arthur Conan Doyle, Mr. Sherlock Holmes himself, publicly suggested that the Lord Carnarvon's death had been at the hands of invisible elementals created by Tutankhamun's priests to guard the royal tomb.
Spooky.
He just says that must have been what it was.
And everyone was like, yes, Arthur Conan Doyle, you are always the speaker of truth.
Literally.
We trust you with our lives.
They're like, we trust you 100%. You are absolutely correct. Furthermore, when they conducted an autopsy on good old Tut, they found a healed lesion on his cheek, leading many to speculate that that was the exact same location of the mosquito bite that took down Carnarvon, who died 4 months and 7 days after the tomb was opened.
Oh, okay.
So I did do my research.
It is there.
I did. Phew. In 1925, anthropologist Henry Field visited the tomb and then recounted how a paperweight that had been given to Carter's friend, Bruce Ingram, was composed of a mummified hand, its wrist adorned with a scarab bracelet, marked with the phrase, "Cursed be he who moves my body. To him shall come fire, water, and pestilence." And he recounted that soon after Bruce received the gift, his house burned down. And when it was rebuilt, Cecilia, it flooded.
That's a creepy paperweight.
That's a creepy paperweight. Here, have a mummified hand with a bracelet that is bearing ill will towards
also,
you.
A huge paperweight.
Huge. He's got big papers,
it's
Cecilia.
A whole hand?
He's got big papers.
I guess.
George J. Gould I. Railway magnate.
GJG
the first. Railway magnate. Choo-choo.
Did you say the first?
The first, yeah.
Okay.
He says it in his name, George J. Gould I.
Again, I said, do you have to specify that?
I don't know, but Wikipedia did, so I feel like I have to as well.
The first.
The first of his name.
There were more George GJGs after him.
GJG, the first of his name, railway magnate, visited the tomb and soon after died in the French Riviera after developing a fever on the trip. So he went there, got a fever, went to France, died.
Okay.
Bing, bang, boom.
He just visited? He didn't take anything?
We'll never know.
Well, maybe he took something.
Well, maybe that's bad the luck. Reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones style.
Yeah.
A.C. Mace, a member of the excavation team, died in 1928 from lung problems and pneumonia. Carter's own secretary, Richard Bethel, died in 1929 in bed at a Mayfair club, a victim of a suspected smothering.
Ooh, shit.
Right? A curse? Maybe.
That's a good way to get away with murder, is to just be like, oh, I guess it must have been that curse.
It must have been that curse, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
I did, like definitely a, didn't smother that man. He was cursed.
I guess it was an ancient Egyptian, like...
Curse
ghost?
Yeah, it's really...
I don't know, that's the only thing it could have been.
I can't think of anything else it might have been. That's awful to hear. Hope no one else is next. So, curse, maybe. But out of the 58 people that were present as the tomb and sarcophagus were opened, Cecilia, only 8 people died within 12 years.
Okay.
So, odds not so... Not so curse-like, it sounds
within
like.
Within 12 years.
Within
12
years, 8 people of 58 died.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Carter himself didn't die until well over 16 years later, though many still attribute his death to the curse. I'm pretty sure he died of something like cancer or something weird. Okay. So they're like, it's a curse. And you might be thinking, but Carly, like, did they find inscriptions of a curse on the tomb? Like, how did that become a thing? Well, media. Because when they found the tomb, Lord Carnarvon, the 5th Earl himself, saw a way to recoup some of the cash he had poured into the project. So, he signed an exclusive contract with the Times newspaper in England for rights to report on the excavation. Their reporters were the only ones in the world able to access the tomb, and so their photos and articles were highly desired, and their newspaper basically flying off the shelves because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other newspapers had nothing they could report on during the historic event. So, of course, like any good journalist, they made it up. Some even went so far as to print the curse's wording to a curse that didn't even exist. So,
oh, interesting.
Somebody just made it up. And then everyone was like, oh, that's what they said. That's definitely the facts. So, you know, it's just, it's PR, man. It's big media. Mm-hmm. Some even, it sold papers. And when some involved in the excavation did die, it was used as proof mm-hmm. of the pharaoh's curse. So it only worked in their favor to keep that okay. rumor going.
Yeah.
So if I were visiting the Valley of the Kings, I wouldn't be so wary of a curse, TBH. Like, it's, that's like... That's a white people thing. White people be making up curses, okay? This is not...
Italians be making up curses.
Mussolini made up curses, okay?
Mussolini made up the curse.
I don't claim Mussolini. I don't claim him.
Yeah.
He's not my president.
I think it's a fair thing to, like... I like saying that things are cursed if you, like, take them, because then it's, like, just leave shit where it is.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I think that, like, is a general... feeling behind like curses and things, but this curse was like, if you go there and you mess with it in any way, you die. And like which some other people like... surrounding it got a little sick and stuff, but like when you have a sample of 58 people over many years time,
and 8 people in 12 years,
like that's pretty and it's good like odds, you know.
I think that that's the kind of like conspiracy or like curse that is like not harmful at all, because it is kind of like good, because instead of making people do like shit that they shouldn't do, like try and sneak into tunnels at the Denver International Airport, they'll go visit a place and they won't steal shit
they'll
from there because they're afraid of like
and like
afraid
of I mean, I guess it's totally true, like a little fear that's harmless and instead preserves, you know, thousands of years of history is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the sort of thing that, like, people will kind of... the sort of story that people will put together so that people don't fuck shit up.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. So we highly believe in the curse, in case anyone's betting against us.
We really believe in it. You can visit. I don't think it's if you visit. I think it's if you take shit.
No. And speaking of visitors, Cecilia, up to 10,000 visitors typically arrive daily in the valley, so there's no surprise. The thing that I would be afraid of is what many of these visitors have reported is the various sightings of ghosts.
Okay.
So just to pad our curse story out, here's a few ghosts that you might see in the Valley of the Kings.
Amazing.
One of the ghostly figures folks have reported has been of a pharaoh or pharaohs fully dressed wandering around their tomb. Mm-hmm. Some believe that one of these pharaohs or this pharaoh could be the pharaoh Akhenaten, who was actually a significant pharaoh. Sorry to shit on King Tut so much, but Akhenaten was
Carly
a big deal.
Carly hates King Tut.
Carly's a King Tut hater.
Hate
I'm not. Akhenaten, who during his reign abolished Egypt's traditional polytheism and introduced Atenism, centered around the sun god they'd call Aten.
Mm-hmm.
Based on like the polytheistic god Ra. If you know anything about ancient Egypt, you know a little bit about these gods. And if you don't, do some Googling. There's a lot of interesting stuff there.
Or if you've seen Night at the Museum.
That's right. If you've seen Night at the Museum, you know what we're saying. After Akhenaten's death, the traditional ways were restored. And so his ideas didn't stick. And the priests are said to have cursed him to wander the desert for all eternity for his misdeeds and for angering the gods. So maybe he's the one they're seeing. Another sighting that many report is that of, and I quote, Cecilia, and this is the one that sold me, besides the curse, a ghost chariot.
Oh my god. A chariot?
Ghost chariot, Cecilia.
Ghost chariot. Ghost oh my chariot. God, is this our first ghost chariot?
This really might be our first ghost chariot.
This might be our first chariot.
I'm so excited. Okay.
Oh my god.
Ghost chariot. Usually around midnight, folks have witnessed this speeding, sometimes fiery, Cecilia, chariot racing by, complete with black horses leading the way, and the figure of an Egyptian king at the reins. As well, people hear the sounds of horses' footsteps, or even the cries of someone in despair. So these are things people hear, they don't see. But in the barren, barren silent landscape, no one can be seen as the source of those sounds. And that, my friends, is Egypt's Valley of the Kings.
Ghost chariot.
Ghost chariot.
Ghost chariot.
Ghost chariot. Ghost chariot. Yeah.
We really had it all. We had curses. We had ghost chariots. Yeah. Mummies.
We had Lucifer.
Tunnels.
We had a train magnet. Oh, everything.
We did have a train magnet. We love a train magnet.
Choo choo. Love to stick it right to the fridge.
Oh, I want a train magnet.
Oh, you should get a train magnet. I'll get you one.
I do have magnets. Another fun thing about this new place is our fridge is magnetic.
That's cool.
Old fridge wasn't magnetic.
Yeah. My fridge at home is not magnetic, so that's one thing. I love magnets. I miss magnets.
Yeah.
Magnets.
I got a fridge now. I put magnets all over it. I can cover this bitch in magnets.
Oh, that's the best thing about a fridge.
Remember when we lived together, we had a bunch of magnets?
Yeah, we had such a nice collection.
I can't find them.
Oh,
unless
no.
Unless you have them.
I have like two or three.
Yeah, I think I had a bunch. I don't know where they went.
Oh, man.
Ugh, so sad.
Bummer.
Anyway, we've done it.
We done did it. We done did the thing. It's done.
We done.
You're welcome.
Did it.
And we're glad to do it.
Thank you, you're welcome.
Thank you, you're welcome. We hope you have a good week. We hope we have a good week.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Because Cecilia's celebrating this week, so she hopes you have a good one, too.
This weekend is my Christmas.
This week, January 6th, that's when the Italian Santa, La Befana, comes.
Oh, yeah, that's today.
Some people have Christmas things.
That's also, like, Orthodox Christmas or something.
Yeah, the Epiphany. A lot of people celebrate Orthodox Christmas. Yeah. So, happy Orthodox Christmas. So happy whatever. Happy January.
Happy January. Happy late Christmas. Yeah. If you also had COVID at Christmas and are celebrating, you know, whatever you feel like it.
Yeah.
Merry New Year and don't let the bed bugs bite.
That's right. Merry, happy. And as always, stay golden, chariot.
Sweet chariot.
Sweet chariot.
Yeah, we covered everything we needed to at the beginning of this, so we're done.
That's right. You remember what we said at the beginning? Think about it now. There it is.
Think about it now. Remember it all. Go watch Succession. Yeah. Go watch Cats.
Mm-hmm.
Go have a bath.
That's right. Patreon's half price.
Patreon's half price.
Hats are open for two more days. Get on it, y'all.
Get on it.
Get on it, y'all. And
buy it for yourself. Buy it for your friends.
That's right. So many good options.
Buy your Patreon for yourself. Buy your Patreon for your friends.
Oh, we love options. You're welcome for it.
I'm hibernating.
Follow us on Instagram at GhostsAreEverywherePod. And we have Twitter at GAEPod. And if you feel like giving us an email, shooting us a little message, feel free to GhostsAreEverywherePod@gmail.com. That's us, baby. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. We've been us. You've been you. You've been great. We hear your applause and we thank you for it. This is the part of the podcast where you applaud us. And thank you. Cecilia's applauding us. Hooray.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. I don't remember how to use Patreon. Patreon's hard.
Don't tell the people that.
It's hard.
We love Patreon. It's so easy to use.
We love it. It's very easy and you like it.